and welcome to a special edition of our Lone Star Podcast. This is our show for Sunday, August 9th, and there's a lot going on. We've got a sort of a co-production, a double co-production, if you will. I am your host, Peter Thomas Fornatel. I am live at the Brentwood. This show is not our official live at the Brentwood for the week. We already did that one back on Wednesday. And this one is brought to you not just by our friends at Lone Star Park, but also our friends at Stable Duel, because we've got a really cool promotion, contest, whatever you want to call it, going on this week involving a member of our In the Money family. You know him from his show Red Board Rewind and the work he does at the Daily Gallup. He is Spencer Lugenbuehl. Spencer, how are you today?
I'm doing great today, Pete. Ready to, as Austin 316 said, whoop some ass the next 4 days here at Lone Star.
I like it. You are. I predicted you would be talking trash about this Beat Spencer contest. And let's actually start right there. So here's how this works. There are four contests, Lone Star Stable Duel contests, starting today, going through Wednesday, their closing day. You can play Stable Duel. You've got to download the Stable Duel app. Super simple. You can do that from the App Store. You can just go to StableDuel.com and be directed there. There are four separate contests. There is no like special entry to beat Spencer. All you have to do is sign up to play all four of these Lone Star Stable Duel contests. If you don't know about Stable Duel, there's good information online. Going to be more stuff coming down the pike soon. But it's basically a combination of fantasy sports and traditional horse betting. And if you're playing all four of these, for as many times as you finish ahead of Spencer in the 4 days, you will get that amount of entries, so 0 to 4, for a $250 free roll. So it's a little bit of added value. The contest just costs $5 each, so it's $20 total. We want as many members of our In the Money audience as possible to support this promo, because not only, you know, I always say support us, support our partners. Well, now you're supporting two partners. You're not just supporting the network. You're supporting Stable Duel. You're supporting Lone Star. You're supporting Spencer. Get involved, folks. Check it out. Just enter these Lone Star Showdown contests on the Stable Duel app. And Spencer, I have a feeling you don't sound like you want to let too many people beat you.
Oh, I'm aiming for at least a top 10 finish every day, maybe top 3. I want to keep it as low as possible on the amount of smack talk I can get back in on the Twitter sphere, for sure.
And remind people, if they do want to talk trash back to you, where they can find you on Twitter.
Spencer. I am at @handy_capper.
There you go. @handy_capper on Twitter. So today's show, we're going to use our normal Lone Star format. We're going to be talking about the early double for today's races. Now, this show will have a bit more lead time than usual, which is good for promo / trash talk purposes, Spencer, because the cards, I guess due to excessive heat, have been moved to night racing for, I think, all 4 days, Sunday through Wednesday. So keep that in mind. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk a little more Stable Duel, and we'll take the quickest look at the Ellis Park Derby. And Spencer is not the only guest on this show. I've waited 3.5 minutes to introduce the second guest. I might be accused of a host fail, but you're going to be hearing him not just today, but also the next couple of days talking Lone Star. We've had good success with these Texas breds talking Texas races, and we're going to keep that very much the same as we welcome back to the In the Money airwaves, John Pinder. John, how are you today?
I'm good, PTF. How are you?
Things are good. It's a lovely day. You might hear the clippity-clop of hooves as I'm sort of positioned between the 7-furlong chute and the H. James Bond barn. So don't be alarmed. We had a traffic accident out here the other day. It's probably somebody looking at the aforementioned horses. Hopefully we'll avoid those kind of entanglements. But let me ask you, John, am I correct? This moving Lone Star to the evening, has there been excessive heat down in the area? I know you're not from exactly that part of Texas, but I figure you pay attention to these things. Has it been hot even by Texas standards?
For sure. For sure. We'll take any rain and we can get it, and haven't gotten any. So right now it's just hot.
In truth, I don't mind having the night racing. I mean, it's been great having Lone Star in the afternoon early week, but especially with this being on a Sunday, I just think it's going to be that much easier to pay attention and figure out what's going on. Let's start with looking at this early double, as we often do on these Lone Star shows. We will have a special show on Tuesday also. We'll do the double and we'll go into the stakes races. if you weren't planning already on playing Lone Star Tuesday night, lots of good reasons to do so with the last of those Texas Bread Stakes days. But tonight, we're going to start things off on this Sunday, August 9th, with our first race. It's 3-and-up Texas Bread Maidens going 6 furlongs on the dirt. And John, we'll keep this with you for starters. How many numbers do you think we need to get this Lone Star Double kicked off this afternoon into evening?
Really just one. I really don't want to give away all my secrets because I'm gonna come off the top turnbuckle and drop one on Spencer here in the contest. but I think
Randy
the race
Savage
goes
style.
Exactly. Number 13, Sweet Linda. She looks to be speed of the speed and looks pretty tough in here.
Does look like a good trip from the outside. Definitely a number that needs to be paid attention to. Let me ask you, John, you've played on Stable Duel before?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we are getting into giving away secrets territory, but I think that's good. I think it's worth it to support our friends over there. When you see a horse like Sweet Linda, the Stable Duel prices are typically created by looking at the morning line. So it's a case where you can almost lock in a way, lock in for game theory purposes, the price on a horse when you add them to your Stable Duel stable. Is that a strategy you will typically use to try to find a couple of favorites to build around when putting your team together, as it were?
For sure. It definitely is, Pete. I liken it to, I love the horizontal wagers. So as I look across, you know, a pick four or a pick five, I'm going to key or try and work around potentially a favorite. And what I like about Stable Duel is that you're not penalized for that, right? If I think Sweet Linda's the one in this spot, I can go with her and pay a little bit more, take up from my overall bankroll, but look to find some value in some other legs.
I wonder if there isn't a little bit of an advantage with people coming from the horse racing world where you don't have that ability to lock on to these short prices. I feel like there's a lot of knee-jerk reaction to try to beat favorites. And I think people in the fantasy world understand that. If you're going to build your team, there are days when, you know, Mike Trout's matchup is such that you're just going to lay the wood and pay the premium for that superstar. But I feel like with horse players being so conditioned to be contrarian, I wonder if there isn't a little bit of value when it comes to the favorites. Spencer, we'll bring you back in. What are your thoughts about this first race at Lone Star today? And do you think John's right? Is it as simple as Sweet Linda, speed of the speed on the outside?
I do not think it is easy as speed of the speed on the outside. If you want to run second, you can choose this horse. This horse seems to have declining buyer figures and likes to run second 3 of 5 races. I'm going with a second time starter, Gidget, out of the Steve Asmussen barn. Solid third, first time out, took some money. The buyer is going to be around what you think that the buyer power would be. It's a 44 with improvement second time out. He should be right around, or she should be right around that buyer par. And I think at 5-2, it cuts off a couple $1,000 for your Stable Duel lineup. And that can help you in the long run when you're trying to, you know, a couple thousand here, a couple thousand there, really helps you get that last big horse you need in your stable.
Gidget is a Steve Asmussen second-time starter. That's an angle that I have certainly taken to the bank over the years. What do you generally think about the approach of trying to key into favorites in Stable Duel, Spencer, as opposed to when you want to spread around and spend less money of your budget and block in horses at bigger prices?
For me, it's been an interesting cycle. I go through every race first. I circle every horse. I write down on a piece of, you know, parchment paper. And then I kind of go through and put all my top picks in, see how much money I'm left with. Do I have enough money for all of my top picks? And then I kind of just do process of elimination. Okay, well, which top pick do I like the least? Okay, cross them out and go to the second choice. And that's kind of how I've ended up, you know, with the stable I have for today's matchup. I definitely have a couple favorites. I definitely have a couple interesting long shots for sure.
John, I do want to give it a chance to come back to you for this race, since Spencer, in full heel mode, which I appreciate, did throw some cold water on your Sweet Linda idea. Do you think there might be something to the idea that she's got a bit of seconditis?
There could be. But we'll see what happens, and we'll have Spencer back tomorrow, and maybe he could have to eat a little bit of that crow from talking about my speed limit.
We'll see how it plays out. It is interesting. Gidget would seem to be one of the potential pace rivals for Sweet Linda, though Stuart Elliott on the outside probably has no choice but to make this pace hot up a little bit. It'll be a fun internal pace battle to watch. It'll be fun to watch you two battle on that stable duel leaderboard. Oh, so folks can follow along. We should let them know, Spencer, you have an established stable name on there, yes?
Yes, I do. It's Redboard Rewind ITM.
All right, that's an easy one to follow. John, how about you? Do you have one stable name that you go with, or do you mix it up?
Just one. Just John P.
John P. So you know who you're looking at. Oh, as promised, we got the clippity clop of hooves. As we've got a set, I think it's from the Bond outfit. Yep, I see the 007 on the saddle coming by. Hello! The good-looking group of horses heading by here. All right, enough of my sidetracks looking at horses and folks on their backs. Let's talk about the second race at Lone Star tonight. We've got 3 and up claimers, 15,000, 5 furlongs on the Lone Star turf. And Spencer, this time we'll start with you.
This was an interesting race, and obviously when you're playing doubles, if you want to go chalk, it's going to be hard to make some money. So I kind of went with the second choice to give myself the opportunity to go with the chalk in this race, and that's the number 6, Emma Port. Just the last couple of races have been fantastic. When you look at a claimer that have won 8 of 19 races, most time you'll see a claimer, they'll have a lot more seconds and thirds. So this horse likes to win 2 for 5 at Lone Star, 2 for 5 at the distance. Just a horse that in the last few races has run 270 buyers. I think this one just fits all the right spots. And Carl Broberg's pretty good down there, 21% so far.
No doubt about it. The 6, M Port, going to be up in the vanguard for sure. And certainly a runner that makes a lot of sense. John, how about you? What did you see happening in the second race at Lone Star tonight?
I'm going to be a little bit contrarian here. Like Spencer said, a lot of times when you go chalk in one leg, you want to try and look for value in the next. And I am going to go with the number 4 as a bet in here. Looks tough. She's going to come off the pace, drop it in class. Definitely Import's going to be there in the front, and looking for her to come running late and steal it here.
There is enough speed to potentially set things up for a closer, and I would agree that Zabet tends to be the best one. I always do try to lean speed in these 5 furlong turf sprints, but Zabet, when you look in terms of class and shouldn't be positioned all that far back, for your sake, you're hoping that the likes of Hawkeye Girl and Marla Truchena give Spencer's pick of Emport all she can handle on the front end to potentially set it up for Zabet. Those really do look like the two logical ones to me. What about in stable dual terms? And we'll go back to you for this, Spencer. Is Emport the type of shorty you'll be willing to just go ahead and pay the price for in tonight's game?
100%.
And John, is this a spot where you'd also want Zabet on your team? Because, of course, we should point out, when you're making your stable duel squadrons, it's not just one horse in every race. You have the opportunity potentially to find a spot later where you want to use 2 long shots and not necessarily use a horse in every race.
Yeah, for sure. I think, Pete, I have put in the majority of my stable. And like you said, we've got a little bit more time to get creative and move things around. But Import's going to be the one for me in this spot, and as far as stable duel is concerned.
Okay, that's interesting. So you're splitting your stable dual action and your double action. I think that's an interesting idea. It's different. It's essentially like a whole new pool that you're betting into. So a horse that makes sense in one situation doesn't necessarily make sense in another. And it's probably also an opportunity to hedge off your tote play. We're certainly hoping everybody, as they're following along with their stable dual game tonight and trying to beat Spencer, that they're also pushing money through the windows. One other race I wanted to talk about tonight in this abbreviated show, but we do have a Triple Crown prep race tonight coming from Ellis Park. And it is the Ellis Park Derby. And it's an interesting race because we've got the winners of a couple of minor derbies in here in Shared Sense and Dean Martini. But then we've also got a horse who's probably no worse, I would say, right now than the second line of the betting in the future wagers for the Kentucky Derby. And that's Art Collector, who's posted at 4-5 on the morning line here. It goes as the 10th race at Ellis, 6:10 Eastern tonight is the time. And John, we'll go back to you and ask you is if this one is as simple as taking Art Collector against the rest of this field. Certainly on numbers, this one's a real standout.
For sure, for sure. Art Collector looks to be the goods. I really like, I have a horse crush on Shared Sense. I really like his ability to close. And I think with the added, well, not the added distance, but going a mile and an eighth, it really seems to hit him between the eyes. The only concern I have is the configuration there at Ellis. Going into that first turn, he's going to be wide with the post draw, so that could hamper him a little bit. But I still like his chances in the spot. But Art Collector is definitely tough.
In terms of wagering, are you thinking you would key entirely around Shared Sense, or is this just all about for you trying to get Art Collector on top and Shared Sense somewhere in the number? Do you think Shared Sense is a valid threat for it all?
I think he's a valid threat for it all. I'd let the tote decide if I was going to use him underneath, maybe in a trifecta wheel or of some sort. But Art Collector seems to be, you know, the goods. But I really like, again, I've got a horse crush on the Shared Sense, and Florent can definitely get him home.
I think if it doesn't work out for Art Collector, it's going to fall into the hands of Shared Sense, in that Time Form has this pace as fast. You could see I think Art Collector probably just blows him up and goes on with it. But if other pace rivals, if he ends up moving too soon or something and is left vulnerable, I do think it's that late punch of Shared Sense could win the day. For me, I was thinking more along the lines of just nailing Art Collector into first, and then just putting Shared Sense second or third and rotating some numbers in there, and maybe just doing the slightest saver exacta Shared Sense over Art Collector to at least get the money back. It's always frustrating if you key that horse for second and third and then they end up winning on you. It can be a frustrating experience. Spencer, let's get your thoughts on this Ellis Park Derby. Who do you like in here?
I am going to keep up my heel persona. I am going to try and beat Art Collector with three horses, the number 3, Sprawl, the number 5, Necker Island, and the aforementioned 12, Shared Sense. I just wonder if Art Collector, the race 2 back, it was under slow pace fractions, showed he was the real goods in the Bluegrass with 103 buyer, but that's now back-to-back top buyers. I mean, it was a 20-point hike almost from the race before that. And horses like Sprawl and Necker Island at double digits have ran those type of numbers and are slowly on the improve. Necker Island has 2 sub-48 workouts in the morning. The Indiana Derby, where he ran third, was all right against Shared Sense. And I think this is a really interesting spot where, for what I think has been now, since the pandemic stuff is kind of like going towards being over, and we actually have more tracks opening up, it was seemingly, you know, different horses were winning all over the country at crazy odds. Now we've had, like, you know, the 4-5, 3-5, 3-5 chalk parade. I think now it's time to spice it up and find another bomb.
Well, I mean, I certainly admire you for your courage in taking on Art Collector. I will say this, those type of like form cycle speed figure angles, personally, I take more seriously when you're looking at older horses with established form where we know exactly mm-hmm. who they are. Sometimes with these sophomores, it really is just as simple as they're just getting good. These are like the college athletes getting ready to step into the pros. And there's almost no telling for me how real and how good the improvement can be that gets made in the spring and summer of that 3-year-old season, which is one of the reasons why I'm very much willing to be the proverbial chalk-eating weasel when it comes to Art Collector. But, you know, don't let me talk. I never want to talk anybody off big-priced opinions like that. It's going to be a fun race, the Ellis Park Derby, and it'll set things up nicely. We're going to have a lot of, obviously, Kentucky Derby content coming down the pike this week. Though I will say this, the Derby draft that I'm planning on having on a Tuesday show is I wonder at this point if it's as simple as who gets the number one pick and gets to pick Tiz the Law. I didn't prep either of you guys for this, but as dyed-in-the-wool racing fans, I'm sure you're ready to at least let me know what you thought of that Tiz the Law performance in yesterday's Travers. And John, we'll start with you.
Wow.
That's basically all I was going to say if you'd asked me. I would have just said, wow.
Yeah, he looked amazing. It was just it was like a morning gallop for him. Looks to be the goods. I don't see anyone between him and Gamine. Can we just play the Oaks Derby double right now?
A 109 buyer speed figure for Tiz the Law. So I mean, we're talking about that the visual impression of a horse who was going to win every yard, running away, geared down, and still stopping the clock in an impressive number. And yeah, Gamine, what can you say about Gamine? I mean, another wow job. And yeah, it almost makes me wonder if there's some chance that it won't be a 20, there won't be full fields in these races to run against these Tigers when you've got when Connections in this very weird racing year have so many other races to point to. Spencer, we'll go back to you. One more chance to play the heel. What did you think of Tiz the Law yesterday?
Wow. it's just, you can even ask people who haven't watched a lot of racing. And like, when you watch the Tiz come around the turn, they're just like, oh, he's gone. And we're like, yep, you better believe he's about to be gone. 109 buyer. We see people, you know, on the Twitterverse now saying like, oh, it should be Gamine versus Tiz the Law. And I get that. But for people, like, they don't really have a foot to stand on because Gamine has one race around two turns, beating a decent horse in Speech. I mean, Tiz has been facing, you know, I think better competition. And just if when they go to the Preakness, if Gamine's there, I mean, you might be able to get a possible halfway decent price on Tiz, possibly. You never know.
It's an interesting prospect, the possible showdown. I'd sort of ruled it out. The idea of going from 7 to 10 for Gamine doesn't make sense, especially with such a valuable target as the Kentucky Oaks, but maybe it's a Rachel Alexandra situation. There's also some small part of me. Now, with as much run as Tiz the Law finished with, I'm less worried about this now. But I was thinking going into yesterday, and knowing how much those Connections wanted to win the Travers, I would venture to say as much as the Derby. I was wondering if there might be a weird situation where they would run in the Derby, potentially win that, and actually pass on the opportunity for this most unusual of Triple Crowns just because of the amount of racing he's had and with the Breeders' Cup Classic as a goal. But he won it so easily that I'm starting to think this horse could just dance those two dances and then go on to those valuable winter prizes as well. I'll tell you what, we have been blessed on this In the Money Network ever since its Place with the Letters podcast days to have some truly exciting horses. I mean, starting with California Chrome and then moving on, obviously, and having the two Triple Crowns. And now to have this horse, this special charismatic New York bred, to follow. I remember sitting right here in the Brentwood 1 year ago, shortly after he broke his maiden, which I think was a year to the day yesterday, and asking Maggie Wolfendale, who she'd seen in terms of two-year-olds who impressed her. And without hesitation, she reached right for Barkley Tag's horse. That Constitution the other day was really impressive. And in truth, he's done nothing but impress ever since. One last round of plugs, folks. We've got Lone Star. We're going to have podcasts for each of these four final days. John Pinder will be with me for the next two as well. We're going to have JK back for our final Lone Star show. We want you to tune into them. We want you to support our friends at Lone Star. And while you're doing that, no better way than to download the StableDuel app, play in these $5 Lone Star games. You have to play in all four to get those entries into the $250 free roll. But whatever, it's a cost of $20 and it's 4 days of action. Heck, even if you mail it in for two of them and do the work for two of them, or even mail it in for three and do the work for one, I believe it's worth it to have a chance for that $250 free roll. Of course, if Spencer does as well as he's predicting, it might not matter. It might be a very short field for that $250 game. But we very much encourage you to get involved, support our partners, and have a lot of fun along the way. Keep the conversation rolling on Twitter. Spencer gave his email or his Twitter earlier in the show. John Pinder, I didn't give you a chance to give yours. You've been doing great work over at the InTheMoneyPodcast.com blog. Where can folks find you on Twitter?
I am at Horseplayer31.
At Horseplayer31. Check him out. Check us out. Rate, review, subscribe. Do all those good things. Thank you so much to John Pinder, to Spencer Lugenbuehl, to Lone Star Park, to Stable Duel, and to our friends right here at the Brentwood who have let me plug in on the side of the building today, which is a story too long to get into. But it was kind of nice. I think we got some nice clippity-clop of hooves in the background, and that's a good thing. Most of all, though, I want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do and supporting us in everything we got going on. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos!